This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Sydney Silvani. A massive regional manhunt is underway in Missouri as local, state, and federal agencies track down a suspected gunman. The suspect, Oscar Sanchez Munoz, is considered armed and dangerous. He is wanted for a string of highway shootings across Kansas City on Tuesday evening. He allegedly shot at several eastbound vehicles between 6 and 6:30 p.m. One person died and four survived. The violence stretched from Interstate 670 near Wyoming Street to Interstate 70 near the Paseo and Prospect Avenue, ending near Truman Road and Hardesty Avenue. According to police, one victim crashed near Truman Road and Bennington Avenue after being shot, later dying at the hospital. Kansas City Police Chief Stacy Graves and Mayor Quentin Lucas addressed the tragedy during a Wednesday night press conference.
KCPD was called to Truman and Bennington on an injury accident. The victim had life-threatening injuries and was transported by EMS to a local hospital. While being treated, medical personnel discovered the victim was suffering from a gunshot wound. The victim was declared deceased at the hospital.
Four other victims were located from the other scenes, three adults and one juvenile teenager. One adult suffered life-threatening injuries, but all four are now stable. One survivor is an Uber driver who was taking fans to Kansas City Stadium for a World Cup match. The shootings occurred 8 miles from the stadium, which hosts 6 matches this year, but police say there are no known ties to the event. On Thursday morning, police executed a search warrant at a home near 16th and Kensington. They used extreme caution and closed surrounding roads in case Sanchez Munoz was hiding inside. This follows a Tuesday night standoff at a house in the 700 block of Brookside Avenue in Independence, where police stayed throughout Wednesday. After police surrounded it, a fire started inside around 12:44 a.m. Wednesday, which firefighters extinguished. Investigators spent Wednesday afternoon gathering evidence, carrying bags from the house, while keeping the street closed. Chief Graves noted that investigators believe Sanchez Munoz is likely hiding and urged the public to help locate him. Detectives haven't identified a motive, but they remain hot on his trail.
We are hot on the trail of the subject, and we want to make sure that he's taken into custody as soon as possible. It is up to the public and the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department and all our local partners to make sure that we get him into custody as soon as we can.
Anyone who sees Sanchez Munoz is urged to call 911 immediately. More crime and justice news after this. The legal battle over the assassination of a healthcare executive is shifting. Attorneys for Luigi Mangione will present a psychiatric defense at his state murder trial this fall, arguing he killed UnitedHealthcare chief executive Brian Thompson while suffering an extreme emotional disturbance. At a hearing Wednesday, Judge Gregory Caro stated he plans to unseal records regarding this defense where a defendant admits to the conduct but argues they aren't fully liable due to a mental health episode. Experts say this defense is challenging but represents Mangione's best option given the strong evidence. Last month, Caro cleared prosecutors to present crucial evidence tying Mangione to the crime scene and his potential motive. An earlier hearing had been sealed to prevent prejudice if the defense abandoned the strategy. However, on Wednesday, Assistant District Attorney Joel Sedeman accused the defense of stonewalling by withholding details. Caro ordered the defense to turn over their psychiatric expert's name and the basis of their argument by Thursday. The judge warned that further delays could preclude Mangione from using the defense at his trial, slated for September. Mangione has pleaded not guilty to state murder and weapons charges in the December 2024 fatal shooting of Thompson outside a Midtown Manhattan hotel. On Wednesday, Caro also dropped a weapons count stemming from a loaded magazine found in Mangione's backpack during his Pennsylvania arrest. In May, the judge ruled that magazine inadmissible due to an improper police search at an Altoona McDonald's. Mangione also faces federal stalking charges, to which he pleaded not guilty. Defenses are limited because Caro previously allowed prosecutors to introduce the alleged murder weapon in writings expressing animosity toward the healthcare industry and a desire to kill the CEO. Under New York law, if an extreme emotional disturbance defense succeeds by a preponderance of evidence, the charge drops from murder to manslaughter, reducing a potential life sentence to a maximum of 25 years. chilling domestic terror plot targeting last weekend's UFC event at the White House has been uncovered, involving explosive-laden drones, snipers, and an online network aiming to spark a violent revolution. According to federal court records, 19-year-old Tyson Proper of Ohio faces severe federal charges, including conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States, attempted murder of a U.S. officer or employee, possession of a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence, and the transfer of a firearm used to commit a felony. The charges stem from an alleged plot targeting the June 14th UFC event held on the White House South Lawn, which was attended by President Donald Trump and other high-ranking government officials. An FBI affidavit filed by Task Force Officer Christopher Betts reveals that authorities first became aware of the imminent threat on June 10th after Proper's mother contacted law enforcement out of concern over her son's recent behavior. Proper's father told responding officers that the teenager had recently connected with extremists online, purchased multiple firearms, body armor, and other tactical equipment, and planned to leave home that weekend to meet members of the group. The family voluntarily surrendered the weapons and gear to authorities. Investigators later recovered photographs on the teen's phone showing large quantities of ammunition, two plate carriers loaded with AR-style magazines, an AR-style rifle, and a bullpup rifle painted with an American flag. The affidavit states that Proper was subsequently transported to a local hospital for emergency admission based on what investigators described as homicidal ideation. In interviews with investigators, Proper's mother alleged he had recently become involved with an online group made up of individuals who claimed to be former military members and promoted extreme religious and anti-government beliefs. Proper admitted to investigators that members initially connected through a TikTok group called Vanguard of the Old before moving their conversations to the encrypted app Signal. The group believed that the U.S. was headed in the wrong direction and needed to be torn down so it could be rebuilt. Proper allegedly admitted to helping plan the attack, stating that members intended to meet in Fredericksburg, Virginia before traveling to Washington. According to the complaint, the group planned to stage a distraction demonstration on the north side of the White House while drones carrying explosive devices detonated over the event venue. The explosions were intended to force attendees and high-value targets to flee south, where armed members of the group planned to open fire. Proper stated this attack was designed to jumpstart a revolution. Signal chats containing 19 participants revealed discussions of sniper positions, drone launch locations, escape routes, a potential safe house, and targets within Congress. While the complaint describes a plan involving explosive drones, it does not allege that investigators actually recovered explosives. The Associated Press reports that a multi-state operation has resulted in 5 arrests across Ohio, Missouri, and California. FBI Director Kash Patel stated on X that the planned attacks were stopped cold, and Proper is scheduled for a detention hearing Wednesday. A horrific cruise ship investigation has taken a major turn as a teenage suspect is finally in federal custody. On Monday, 16-year-old Timothy Hudson surrendered to U.S. Marshals. According to court documents, the surrender was ordered by Judge Edwin Torres, coming exactly 1 week after prosecutors moved to revoke the teenager's pretrial release. Hudson faces adult charges of murder and aggravated sexual abuse for the November 2025 death of his 18-year-old stepsister, Anna Kepner, aboard the Carnival Cruise Line vessel, the Horizon. The tragedy occurred during their family's first blended vacation following the marriage of Hudson's mother, Chantel Hudson, to Anna's father, Christopher Kepner. According to court filings, Anna was last seen returning to the stateroom she shared with Hudson and her 14-year-old half-brother on the night of November 6th. She was found dead under her bed the next morning. The Miami-Dade Medical Examiner's Office determined her cause of death to be mechanical asphyxiation due to homicide. Here's how the evidence stacks up against stepbrother Timothy Hudson. Prosecutors state one vaginal swab was 120 sextillion times more likely to match Hudson than a stranger. A second swab was 1.2 septillion times more likely to match him. Additionally, CCTV and phone data show Kepner entering their shared cabin and never leaving. Even worse, her phone's location data mirrored Hudson's movements right before it was found smashed in a trash bin. Initially, Hudson was released to a family member without bail following a February 6th appearance in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida. Because he was charged as a minor at that time, the Juvenile Detention Act protected him from pretrial detention. However, prosecutors have since indicted him as an adult, prompting Judge Torres to reverse his decision. In his written order, Judge Torres stated that the prosecution's case for forcible rape is beyond clear and convincing, adding that Hudson's behavior suggests a level of psychopathy and lack of remorse that by itself raises a serious concern that he can snap at any time. The judge concluded that Hudson presents a clear danger to himself and others. Hudson's long-awaited arrest answers the pleas of a devastated family. In February, Hudson's mother and Anna's father released a joint statement expressing their outrage over his initial release, stating it was deeply painful and disturbing that the person responsible was able to walk freely while they lived with the loss of their child. Hudson now remains detained. A historic night of celebration in New York City turned into absolute chaos as a long-awaited championship victory devolved into a night of gunfire, stabbings, and widespread riots. Officers responded to a shooting at approximately 2:01 a.m. early Sunday morning near 42nd Street and Broadway. A 17-year-old male was shot once in the left foot. Due to the massive, unruly crowds, responding ambulances could not access the scene, forcing NYPD officers to transport the bleeding teenager to Bellevue Hospital themselves. He remains there in stable condition. Three persons of interest were immediately taken into custody, and a firearm was recovered at the scene. The violence erupted just hours after the Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 94-90 in Game 5 of the NBA Finals down in Texas. Even though the franchise's first NBA title since 1973 was clinched thousands of miles away, the NYPD maintained a massive presence around Madison Square Garden. Ahead of the game, New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani urged fans on social media to celebrate responsibly, writing, "Look out for one another, and make this a night that reflects the very best of our city." Those calls for peace were utterly ignored. One social media video showed individuals jumping onto the roof of an NYPD patrol vehicle and smashing its windshield. Flames erupted from a school bus that was intentionally lit on fire on 42nd Street near 8th Avenue. A total of 5 school buses were set ablaze or completely destroyed by rioters wielding baseball bats. These buses were actively being used to transport people from Manhattan to MetLife Stadium for the World Cup games. Amid the unfolding madness, multiple personal vehicles were destroyed, rioters lit dangerous fireworks directly inside tightly packed crowds, and individuals scaled light poles, traffic lights, and construction scaffolding as massive brawls broke out. The NYPD executed 63 arrests. The laundry list of charges includes assault on a police officer, criminal possession of a weapon, criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and obstruction of governmental administration. The toll on law enforcement was also heavy. 10 members of the NYPD were injured during the riots, including one officer who was punched squarely in the face and another who was struck by a glass bottle. For the latest crime and justice breaking news, be sure to tune in tomorrow on your favorite podcast app. With This Crime Alert, I'm Sydney Silvani.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.